living on the road, my friend.
Hey, welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. 34 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning. Hope everyone's doing well out there. Coming up in the next hour, Matt Simpson, state representative over in on the Eastern Shore. Well, I guess parts of Mobile County as well. Those of you that live in Saraland could be your representative up that way as well. So stick around for that. Joining us now, had him on. We had him on earlier, but it just so happened to be the day of Hurricane Sally had landed here in southwest Alabama. Mobile City Councilman LaVon Manzi's on the line. Councilman, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Good to hear from you. Everything going okay?
So far, so good. It's a beautiful day, beautiful fall day, winter day, and just getting up, getting things going, and appreciate the opportunity to come back on the Jeff Porter Show.
Well, we appreciate having you. Let's get right into it. Give you a little opportunity here. You got to be pleased with the outcome of the presidential election. Maybe not as pleased with what went on here in state of Alabama. Maybe some promising signs there. But first off, presidential election, how you feel about that?
Well, I am pleased. I don't think it was a secret that I thought we needed to move in a different direction. And that may be divergent from some of the opinions of many of your listeners, but that's the beauty of our country and our democracy. We all can have our own opinions and agree to disagree agreeably. But yes, I'm pleased. I'm looking forward to the country moving in a more proactive posturing as of January 20th, 2021. I'm looking forward to it.
It'd be tough for Joe Biden if he's sworn in, because Congress, Capitol Hill, there seems to be a lot of drama there. I mean, obviously there's always drama on Capitol Hill, but he needs really that component to achieve a lot of things. You see him maybe overcoming some of those hurdles?
Well, I do. I think one advantage that he has is one of the things that they said it was a detraction. He's got almost 46 years of experience dealing with some of these key players. And through those years, they were able to accomplish, while there was a lot of gridlock, there was also much productivity. And I believe he'll be able to glean on those relationships once he's officially sworn in and his administration is in place. He'll be able to use those relationships to hopefully further a positive agenda.
Well, we'll see. I'm curious how that's going to work out. I guess the House and the Senate. Well, Senate's still got the elections in Georgia. Are you watching any of that unfold to our east?
Absolutely, absolutely. I am excited that prospect exists. I believe we certainly have an even money opportunity to win one or both of those seats, and if that happens, then it will create a unique opportunity for the president-elect's party to be in power in all three branches, in the both the executive and the legislative branch. And I believe at that point, more of the agenda that he promised the country could be enacted. If that doesn't happen in Georgia on January the 5th, I believe it will be tougher. But his experience and relationships hopefully will pick up the slack.
We'll have to wait and see on that. Let's talk about what's going on here in Alabama, Democratic Party. I don't know how you felt about the change in leadership. We haven't really talked about that much, but I think under Chris England, Chairman England right now, it may not have been the desired outcome, but it does seem like the Democratic Party in Alabama now has a pulse.
I totally agree. When I look at the difference between the Alabama Democratic Party and its outreach, the initiatives that they implemented with this past election, and in previous iterations of elections, is night and day. And I certainly attribute that to the leadership of Chairman England and Executive Director Wade Perry, who happens to be from Mobile, a personal friend of mine, who has worked night and day along with Chairman England and the Executive Board to try to revamp the party, rehabilitate it, and make it relevant even in a modern-day Alabama context.
Well, and the thing is, it was interesting to me, Councilman, was we may not like the rules over here in Republican world. We may not like the way the early voting or the absentee balloting was done or any of that, but they were using, it appeared to me Democrats were using the rules to their advantage like anywhere else. And if you're a Democrat, you're just looking, I mean, that's how you play the game. You play to win.
Well, that's one lesson I think we've learned from the Republicans, is that you do what you have to do in order to survive and thrive another day. That's what we've seen over the last decade from our counterparts on the other side, and I think it's no more than right, as long as it's within the context of the law and the rules, that we do the same thing. And as long as we do that and continue to express a message that's for working people, working families, the middle class, you will continue to see steady improvements in the standings of the Democratic Party.
I mean, that was always my conundrum under Nancy Worley's leadership of the Democratic Party. You come out of 2017, you have this historic victory with Doug Jones. I hadn't seen anything like that in at least a decade, if not more, something like that happened. They didn't really build off of it, but you look at the map the day after the election on December 2017, and you look and you see places where, if given the right circumstances, albeit very abnormal at the time, but given the right circumstances, these places could or would vote a Democrat. And that's maybe where you want to target. It looked to me, though, like the Democratic Party just wasn't really interested in any of that, and maybe now they will be.
Well, I think some of that was predicated on personality. There may have been persons in leadership that were not as fond of Senator Jones as others, and he may have expressed some opinions that were, contrary to their leadership styles. And so that, and we've got to, in order to be successful, we've got to build beyond that. And we've also got to learn how to communicate and enunciate our own message. In so many instances, I see good, God-fearing, gun-toting Democrats just be demagogued into something that they are absolutely not, because we allow others to paint on our canvases for us. We need to take control of the brush, take control of the paint, and express our own message so that citizens in these communities can make a choice, can make an intelligent and informed choice as to who they need to support.
Well, I mean, at least you're showing some signs of life on the Democrat side that we haven't seen in quite a while. So, and one thing I would say for Republicans, they don't need to be taking these elections as for granted as maybe they once had.
I totally agree. I believe that a new crop of candidates will emerge who will be sharper, whose views will be more in line with Alabama. And see, that's the thing I think, that many believe, that in order to be a Democrat, you have to be monolithic and believe in one set of standards, one prescriptive set of protocols. That's not the case. There are things that I disagree with vehemently. There are things that I agree with vehemently. But all in all, it's the party more closely aligned to where I am from a philosophical and political perspective. And an Alabama Democrat could be completely different from a New York Democrat or a California Democrat. And so we've got to stop allowing the message to be that it's one size fit all, that everybody subscribes to this one unpenetrable set of beliefs. That's not the case. At the end of the day, I see the party as the party that wants to work to lift people up, particularly those in the middle class and those who want to lift up.
Joined by Mobile City Councilman LaVon Manzi here on the program. LaVon, let's talk about things. Let's bring it on home to Mobile.
Sure.
The big story to me right now, what is going to happen with Mardi Gras? It looks like Mayor Stimson is cautiously proceeding ahead. A lot of these societies have gone ahead and just called it off. But, you know, why do you think about how that should proceed under these circumstances of COVID-19?
Well, COVID-19 is a worldwide global health pandemic. And all of our powers are given to us by the state legislature. We are creatures of the state. We were given public safety. We were not given public health. We have a separate and distinct Mobile County Health Department. If you can remember when the pandemic began initially, Dr. Eichold and others were able to make restrictions on restaurants and things that the city didn't necessarily subscribe to at that time. You know, it worked out to be harmonious, but because he had autonomy, because he had that distinct authority, he was able to make those calls. I believe our county and Jefferson County may be the only two counties with that distinct autonomy. And it's no different in this situation. We invited Dr. Eichold to present at our Tuesday's city council meeting. And there appears to be this back and forth as to, well, who ultimately has the authority. And what's surprising to me is two of the gentlemen that kind of going back and forth on it, they are part of this unified command. And so if the decision were to come from that body, I don't think our citizens would really care. I just believe that they want a direction. It would appear to me it'd be most appropriate for a question dealing with health to come from the health department and our county's health officer, because the city of Mobile is not the only municipality that has parading societies, that has Mardi Gras balls, that have events relative and built around Mardi Gras. We're not the only. While we are the biggest, but by any stretch, we're certainly the biggest. There are other communities, Pritchard and Dolphin Island and others, that offer parades. I believe the first one traditionally is in Dolphin Island. And so citizens across this county are looking for leadership and guidance as relates to Mardi Gras, and I'm hopeful that we'll get that soon.
Well, tell me this, looking at the state level, Governor Ivey, a little more cautious with rolling back some of the restrictions than the states that border Alabama. I think that's plainly clear compared to Florida, Mississippi, et cetera. What do you think about what's going on at the state level? Is she taking the right approach?
I believe that the governor has. You know, she's implemented this mask mandate, which has been important, I believe, in helping us to keep the curve where it is and flatten it when it was trending downward. But there's been, in my opinion, COVID fatigue is setting in. The weather's changing. You know, we've had daylight savings time to come forward. And people are looking forward to the holidays. It's just a more relaxed time of the year. And as all of those things present themselves, COVID fatigue is presenting itself. And while we have the luxury of getting fatigued of COVID, COVID has not gotten fatigued at all. It has gotten stronger, more prevalent. As we watch the news reports, 250,000 of our fellow United States citizens have lost their lives as a result of this horrendous disease. And so any and all efforts that the governor would want to implement in order to protect us and in order to get us to the end of the tunnel, where hopefully we'll be able to participate in some of these vaccines, I'm all in favor of.
And the last question on that, what are you hearing, your constituents? Do they side on the side of we need to keep things in place, or do you hear a lot of gripes that we want to get back to normal?
Well, it's about 65-35. I represent a very diverse district, some of the most affluent, some of the most downtrodden. And for the most part, the people in District 2 would say to me that we appreciate the mask mandates. We appreciate the mask ordinances and the, any and all things that you all can do to help encourage persons to take this serious. But there is a crowd, a very vocal minority, that's resistant of government interfering or interacting in any respect, whether it be a mask, whether it be the possibilities of shutdowns, curtailing occupancy rates in restaurants and stores. There is a very vocal minority that doesn't want any part of that and consider it all to be a part of personal responsibility, civil liberties, and things of that nature. And while I respect their ability to believe that, I don't subscribe to that myself.
Kelsey, we've got to wrap it up. We're up against a break. I really do appreciate you making time for us, so let's do this again real soon.
Anytime. You keep up the good work.
All right. Mobile City Councilman LaVon Manzi, friend of mine. We went to college together way back in the day. I've kept in touch. He's been a good friend of mine over the years. Going to work in a timeout here. We will return. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Waking and baking every morning at 8. Make it to work. They're always late.